Thank you for listening to this message from Samuel Petty Ministries. May your life be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit.
I'm going to talk tonight just a little bit from the Word of God. The guys are passing out puzzle pieces, and just keep those puzzle pieces. They're going to be so important. Want everyone to get, even like the adults, to get a puzzle piece there. Prayerfully, there's enough. I'm a firm believer that the Word of God is one of the best things going. Not only is it my major, but I believe it's fun. You will see that as I talk. I grew up in a small town, went to a small Pentecostal church, and so we always make a joke. We said, you know what? We didn't go to the gym. We went to church, and that was good enough. Amen. And so as I talk about the Word of God, I get excited. I'm also a talk back kind of person. So I may say this, and I want you to holler it out with all you have. Is that good? All right. If you have a puzzle piece, hopefully everyone has one, I want you to take and hold it up. It's going to talk to, hold it up high. Hold it up high. Everyone has a puzzle piece. If you have a puzzle piece, hold that puzzle piece up high. And for just this little bit, I'm going to count to three, and I want you to repeat after me. All right? On the count of three, I want you, when I repeat, on the count of three, say, Jesus is enough. All right? Wait till three. All right. One, two, three. That was pitiful. I need y'all to stand up. Let's stand up. Stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. We're talking about the Savior of the world. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about divinity here. All right, on the count of three, Jesus is enough. One, two, three. All right, I need the people down the road to hear it. I need people in Clayton to hear it. I need Ferdix Church to hear it right down the road. All right, one, two, three. Jesus is enough. All right, that's good. You can sit back down. That's good. All right, Jesus is enough. I'm going to talk tonight about beautiful things. Just want to share a little bit from my testimony. I'm going to make this really quick. I see Bibles coming out. Praise God. One of the things, I served at a church over the summer, and I would tell the students, I came from a KJV-only church, and so every time you came to church, you brought a Bible, but I understand this is 2017, so if you don't have it, hard copy, you got it on your phone. If you don't have it on your phone, it's in your heart. So that's good. Good enough for me. Tonight, we're going to talk about beautiful things from Ecclesiastes 11. If you do have a Bible, you can open it up. In Bible school, I'm going to read from the English Standard Version, a formal translation. Then I'm going to read from the New Living Translation for just a better understanding, more so, just to make it a little bit easier to explain. Ecclesiastes 3:11, the English Standard Version reads like this. It says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity," somebody holler out eternity, "into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." The New Living Translation reads like this. All right. It says, "Yet God has made everything beautiful." Somebody say beautiful. "For its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to the end." Tonight, I want to talk about beautiful things. So let's just pray. God, I thank you for this moment just to share in the scripture, just to look at your word. God, your word is life. I thank you for Jesus in this moment. I thank you for the gospel. I thank you for just another opportunity to share just a little bit of what you've done and who you are to me. I pray that in this moment that Holy Spirit, open up these students' hearts and their minds to receive the word of God in truth and in love. I pray, Lord, that you would grant me a spirit of wisdom and revelation just to speak the truth of your word. Let them not see me, but let them see the cross of Christ. Let them be touched by the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about the grace of God over our lives. His sovereignty has the ability to make even the ugliest of our situations beautiful. The grace of God over our lives, his supernatural presence, his covering power, has the ability to make even the ugliest of our situations beautiful. Somebody say beautiful. All right. Anybody in here wear contacts? Any contact wearers? All right, I see you. So I think it was, do y'all remember? I think it was last year. I was like, you know what? I'm going to put on some contacts. I got a little money, and I said, you know what, I'm going to do this. And so I went to America's Best, got the whole prescription thing down, got the glasses too. I'm like, I'm growing up a little bit. I want some freedom. I want contacts. I can pay for my own. My mom said, I'm not paying for your contacts. They're too expensive. No. And so I said, I got a little money. I'm going to get some contacts. So I got contacts. Well, before you leave with your prescription, the woman tells you, you have to actually put the contacts in yourself. Yeah. So I go and I put the contacts in. It takes me like an hour. She said, well, you know, you can come back. I said, no, I want these contacts. I don't care how long it takes. I put them in. Finally get them in. Go to school the next day. I'm literally walking down the hallway and the contact drops out of my eye. Now, note, that morning it took me like another hour to put it in. So my eyes bloodshot red, just horrible. Contact falls out. So I get in one of my classes and I begin to tell one of my friends about it. And he tells me of this story of his cousin had contacts. He was playing basketball in his driveway. He's playing basketball. I mean, he's just going at it. All of a sudden, the same thing happens to him. His contacts falls out. One contact falls out of his eye on the driveway. He loses it. Looks around for 30 minutes. He had a mother like me, but she finally gave up and said, you know what? I'm going to get you contacts, even though they're expensive. Loses the contact. He looks for 30 minutes, can't find it. He says, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? I've lost my contact. Mom paid a lot of money. I'm never going to get another one. So he goes inside the house, and he says, Mom, this is an ugly situation. I lost my contact. She said, oh, you did you? So she goes outside. What took him 30 minutes to find, she finds in 2 minutes. He said, how did you find that in 2 minutes? She said, it's simple, son. She says, you were looking for a piece of plastic. I was looking for $150. In that moment, what seemed to be an ugly situation turned out for good. Why? Because the mother saw the real value of what was going on there. And so as we get into the scripture, Ecclesiastes 3, we understand that it was written by the wise man. That's what the Bible calls him. NIV calls him the teacher. KJV calls him the wise man or the preacher. And from studying, we find that this was written by a man by the name of Solomon. We think more than likely it was Solomon. David's son. So the same guy that kills Goliath with 5 smooth stones and a slingshot, his son writes the book of Ecclesiastes. And so we understand that this book was written near the end of Solomon's reign over Israel. And so I can imagine Solomon sitting at his kingly desk. He has his jewels and this wonderful desk, and he has I can imagine in my mind a window, and he's looking out over all of his kingdom that he has. And he's reflecting over his life. He's reflecting over the good things. He's reflecting over the bad things. He's reflecting over the crazy things. This same Solomon, if we go to the book of 1 Kings, it says that Solomon became king after his dad David. And he says, God came to Solomon in a dream at night. And he says, Solomon, what do you want? Look at the person next to you and say, what do you want? There was the wrong person. Look to the other and say, what do you want? He says, Solomon, you've served me. You've honored me. He said, what do you want? Solomon could have asked for money. He could have asked for riches, popularity, anything he wanted. Solomon asked for wisdom. That's it. He said, God, give me wisdom. Because he asked for wisdom, God gives him riches. God gives him fame. God gives him fortune. And if you read your Bible, he gave him a good number of wives too. And so that was a joke. You can laugh over that. So Solomon writes this, and he says, he's talking about God. He says, he's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. And so Solomon's sitting and writing this, and so tonight I just want to talk about the grace of Jesus over our lives, how he takes the ugliest of our situations, and he makes them beautiful. So the first thing, how does God do this? Number one. The scripture says, but part A of this, he has a promise to us. A promise. We ask ourselves the question, what is God doing in my life? I want you to ask yourself this tonight. What is God doing in my life? Talking about beautiful things. This promise, we have to understand that life consists of good and bad situations in balance. Meaning that sometimes it's going to be good days. Sometimes you're going to have good days as students, as college students, as adults. And then sometimes you're going to have bad days. Some days you're going to be on top of the world. It's the best day ever. You say, this day can't get any worse. And then some days it's like, you know what, Lord? If I got hit by a bus, I'd be all right. I'm serious. If you're at Liberty, you know about the Liberty buses. Life is made up of opposite situations in balance. And even in the midst of those good and those bad things, or those beautiful things and those ugly things, from the scripture, we find that we have a promise from God. What is he doing in our lives? He's making things beautiful. Someone coined the phrase, for our good and for God's glory. Now, personally, in my life, I'm just not saying God makes things beautiful. I've experienced this myself. A part of my testimony is I grew up without a father. Yeah. And so I'm going to start, make this really quick. But the story goes, my father lived in Washington, D.C., not a good man. From age 16 to 18, he spent in a juvenile detention because, get this, he was driving the getaway car for his cousins who robbed a bank. That should be a Hallmark movie. So he goes to prison. He's driving the getaway car. They don't get caught, but he gets caught. So he spends 2 years in the juvenile detention, gets out, gets married, marries his first wife, has children with her, that didn't work, divorced her, ended up with more children. Then he met my mother, Southern Belle from Virginia, not that Southern, but anyway, from Virginia, came straight out the Pentecostal church, didn't know anything about life, she just came to D.C. to work in the government. She got a job, graduated from community college, didn't know a whole lot. She meets my father, and truth be told, things went south from there. She marries him. Well, when she became pregnant with me a few months later, short amount of time, because when she grew up, from a baby on up, she had a hole in her heart. And so at that time, the doctor told her, he said, ma'am, you know what? You're not going to be able to have children. Or if you do have children, more than likely, it'll kill you and it'll kill the baby. So fast forward. In D.C., married to my father. She gets pregnant, goes to the doctor. They find out she's pregnant. The doctor said, ma'am, again, if you have children, you're going to die, period. Not only will you die in the process, not even having the baby, but the process of it will kill you. It will literally explode your heart. He says, ma'am, I think the best thing would be to have an abortion. I think that's the best choice. My father says, you know what? I think that's a good idea, too. He probably didn't want any more children. And so she says, So she takes some time and she prays about it. And she says, you know what? I can't do this. This is not what I've learned. This is not what I've been taught growing up. And so from that, she decides to keep me. They get divorced maybe a month or two afterwards. So from that time on, my father, not in my life. And so from that was my ugly situation. So growing up, I had a lot of bitterness. Angry. The question of why was in my mind. God, why did my father not want me? So I'm angry, I'm bitter, thinking that everybody's out to get me. I'm dealing with abandonment, thinking that everyone's going to abandon me. Everyone's going to leave me. So you don't get picked for kickball on the playground. Well, you think, you know what, maybe it's because my father left me. I can laugh now, but at the moment, it's just like, this is the worst thing ever. Rejection, I hate it being rejected. I'm bitter. I'm angry at the world. My mom often tells me, she says, you know what? From about ages 3, I know until a good 10, she says, I don't even think you smiled. I didn't smile. I didn't laugh. Because all of this is inside of me. This is a ugly situation. All of this hurt that's in my heart. I never had my father look at me and say, you know what, son, I love you. Son, I approve of you. Son, you are worth something. I had to teach my own self how to tie a necktie. My grandmother taught me how to ride my bike. One of my uncles taught me how to change oil in a car. Think of what that does to a person. A lot of hurt in my heart. It was an ugly situation. But I can stand here today that from the truth of Scripture, God's promise is that he makes ugly situations beautiful. You can clap on that. I stand today to say he's a good father. He does nothing wrong, no matter how bad it is, no matter what it looks like. God does nothing wrong. His promise is that he's making things beautiful in our lives. And so we must understand that we all have those ugly places in our lives. I don't know what your ugly area is. Maybe your testimony is like mine. You grew up without a father. Maybe you grew up without a mother. Maybe it's something else that I'll get to later on in my talk. But we all have ugly areas in our lives. Those things that we think we can't overcome, or even some things that we partially bring on ourselves that we can't overcome. Ugly areas. But I'm here to tell you tonight that the promise of Scripture, God's promise, is that He takes ugly things and He makes them beautiful. But I want to stop right there. Nowhere in the Word did it say He was going to make it perfect. Perfection is not beauty. It said He'd make it beautiful, but it didn't say He would make it perfect. It's not beauty. Number two, purpose. Somebody say purpose. The second part of that verse, this is my favorite part. It says, also He has put eternity into man's heart, comma. So we ask ourselves the question, why is God doing this? He's making things beautiful, but why is He doing it? In our world, purpose is a big thing. Everybody wants to know what they're on earth for. God, what am I here for? What's my purpose? What do I go to school for? Me in college at Liberty is a big thing. God, who's the purpose for me to marry? What do I do? Why am I here? What's going on? Purpose is a big thing. If no one has told you your purpose, I'm here to tell it tonight. As God's creation, your purpose is to live in a personal and intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Period. Your purpose, I'll say it again, is to live in relationship with Jesus. That's your purpose. Now, that may look differently for a lot of us. For some of us, you may be a doctor who loves Jesus. For some of you, that may mean a teacher who loves Jesus. For some of you, that may mean a plumber who loves Jesus. Why is that? We go back to the gospel. God sent His Son for us. To think that the God of the universe, the creator of life itself, sent His Son. Romans 5 and 8 says, while we were sinners, enemies of God, meaning we deserved a natural and a spiritual death. We deserved to die, end of the story, nothing more. God deserved to mark us off His list. But it says, while we were in sin, Jesus died for us, lived a sinless life, 100% God, 100% man, died a death He did not deserve for us because God loved us. Not only did He die, but He got up from the grave. He rose from the dead for us. That's our purpose, to live in relationship with the same God who died for every single one of you in that room. Again, your purpose may not look like mine. God's called me to ministry in any form. Your purpose, again, may be a plumber who loves Jesus. It may be a doctor. It may be a professional athlete who loves Jesus. It may be a graphic designer who loves Jesus, who lives their life in the marketplace for Jesus. That's your purpose. I love it because He's put eternity into man's heart. That word eternity in the Hebrew is the word O-L-A-M, olam. It means a desire for more, an innate knowing that there's more than just what you can see. I love that part. I believe that inside of every human being, oftentimes when I'm at camp, I put it like this. I say there's a God-shaped hole. Get your puzzle piece. Hope you didn't lose it, that puzzle piece. The Bible says inside of us there is a place for God that only God can fill. Only Jesus, the Son of God, can fill. Inside of you and you and you, there's a void. The Bible says eternity is in our hearts. The only thing that can fill it is Jesus Christ. People all over the world, today you can turn on the news, you can read newspaper, go online, you can look out your back door, and you'll find that people are filling that void with any and everything other than Jesus. I want to ask you the question, what are you filling the void in your heart with other than Jesus? I don't have to name out stuff, but I will. All over the world, people are filling that void with alcohol, drugs, improper, unbiblical usage of sex, pornography, pride, anger, jealousy, malice, bitterness, lust. The list goes on. They're filling their heart with something other than Jesus. But the Bible says that that space is eternity. meaning that it's deeper than anything can go. It's wider than any other thing can go. And the only thing can go in that place is Jesus. So I ask you the question, what are you filling the void in your heart with other than the Son of God? I want you to take time and think about that. That puzzle piece that you hold in your hand is a unique piece. It can only go in one spot on that board. No matter how you try to turn it, no matter how you try to work it. Jesus is unique. He's the one and only Son of God. His purpose is for you to live in relationship with God the Father through Jesus. What are you filling that void in your heart with? Finally, number three. I love this part. It says, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Kobe, you can come up. God has a plan for us. A plan. So it's not only what is God doing, he's making those ugly things beautiful. Not only why is he doing it, because of the purpose of God in my life to live in relationship with Jesus. But number three, he has a plan. How is he going to do it? I believe that plan is by trusting in him. The grace of Jesus over our lives enables us to trust him. I love it because this same writer in Ecclesiastes, in the very last, one of the last verses, he says, after everything, Ecclesiastes 12, 13, he says, after everything is said and done, he says, what did we do? Fear God, love God, and keep his commandments. That's the duty of man. The plan of God in your life is to trust him. The sovereign power of God over us will fulfill his sacred purpose in us. You can trust God when you can't trace him. I don't know what that trust may look like for you. Maybe it's an ugly situation, again, like mine. Maybe it's one of those horrible situations where you say, God, I've got myself in this place and I don't know what to do. It's such a dark place. I'm scared to go to sleep at night. I'm scared to get up in the morning. I don't even want to talk to anybody about it, but I know I need to talk to somebody about it. The Bible says he makes ugly things beautiful. He makes ugly things beautiful. I believe he wants you to trust him tonight. He wants you to take that ugly thing. You know what it is? While you're holding that puzzle piece in your hand, I don't have to tell you, and I don't even have to call it out. I want to read this scripture out of Hebrews. It's one of my favorites. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands every single one of our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. I love this part. It says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There, we will receive his mercy and find grace to help us when we need it most. Boldly. So in this moment, I believe that the Lord's working in your heart. I don't have to pull up anything. I don't have to work up anything. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to envision that ugly thing. Again, I don't have to call it out. You know what that ugly thing is. For some of you, that's your salvation. You have not trusted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. You're still living off your parents' salvation, living in the Bible Belt. You have not said, you know what, Jesus? I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for me. I believe you paid the price for my sin. And so, God, I give you my life. Be my Savior and my Lord. For some of you, that's secret sin. Your ugly thing is secret sin. For some of you, it's the inside of your heart. For some of you, it's what's on your phone at 12:01 at night. For some of you, it's the friends you hang out with. For some of you, it's the hurt that's in your heart because somebody hurt you and you can't forgive them because you're still angry about it, you're bitter about it. For some of you, you want to please people. It's rejection. And then for those of you that says, you know what, it's nothing at all, that's called religion. That's called pride. For some of you, it's your future. You say, God, I don't know what I'm doing with my future. I don't even know what's going on with my life. I'm here to tell you that he takes ugly things and he makes them beautiful. So in this moment, that ugly thing that's in the forefront of your mind, I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand. I'm not going to ask you to do any of that. But I'm going to beg you to give it to Jesus tonight. Just give it to Jesus. Say, Jesus, here's all of me. My life. My all. Break me. Mold me. So whatever that looks like, whatever that says I'm supposed to go, whatever that says I'm supposed to do, for some of you in this moment, you're going to have to delete some stuff. You're going to have to talk to somebody after this service. For some of you, the next week, you're going to have to let go of some friends. But I'm here to tell you, he takes ugly things and he makes them beautiful. And so, Father, I pray in Jesus' name tonight that you would touch these students' hearts. Spirit of the living God, I pray that you would fall fresh on them. I can't tell them how to apply your word, but you're the only one that can apply the word to their hearts. I pray that they would accept you as Savior and Lord, and that they would know that Jesus is enough. He's enough for our pain. He's enough for our struggle. He's enough for our stress. Jesus is enough. I pray that they would and after everything is said and done, the conclusion of the whole matter, they would love God and they would keep his commandments. For this is the duty of man. I pray this in the name of your holy son, Jesus. Amen.
This has been another message from Samuel Petty Ministries. Thank you again for listening.